The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, that all these things will be given to you, need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The Gospel of the Lord.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Doctor, teacher, veterinarian, firefighter are some answers children give. My response from age 12 was always, a mom. I don't remember who first asked me the question or how I determined my answer. Maybe it was the strength I saw in my own mother growing up or the love that both of my grandmas showed me throughout my childhood. Time moved forward, and even though my childhood response never changed, my focus was shifted towards school and then starting my career. Family and faith have always played an important role in my life. I became involved with a youth group at church and began teaching confirmation classes after college. There were bowling leagues, volleyball teams, golf outings, trip with friends, but I had not found that special one to share my adventures with. My life was blessed. I was a college graduate. I had a job I enjoyed, but still I wanted to find my other half. The years passed, and my goal to become a mother grew stronger. There were many people in my life wanting to help me find the one, introducing me to their brother, son, nephew, friend. I accepted an invitation to join a couple of friends for dinner, drinks, and baseball back in 2007. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made, bringing me face to face with him, their friend, who took a leap of faith to join his friends to meet me. I said yes when he asked me to be his wife and took his name in 2009. We were so excited to create our happily ever after and a family of our own. Trust me when I tell you, we had a good time working on getting our family started. It was amazing having a partner, a soulmate to share newfound adventures with, but we both longed for a child. Luck did not seem to be on our side, so after a year of trying and a whole lot of praying, we went to see a specialist. Anyone who has experienced fertility challenges, even those who have not, can tell you it's a roller coaster of emotions. The goal of being parents became work, with tracking, monitoring, visiting the doctors, test after test, making for so many stressful months. There were brief moments of excitement and hope quickly diminished with agonizing loss. Our marriage was challenged, as well as my faith, because there was so much anguish and uncertainty. I began questioning my dream of becoming a mother, and there were many times I didn't think I had the strength to continue on the path I'd wanted for so long. It was during these incredibly difficult times that my faith protected me from giving up. Family and friends offered support, but they could not fix the problem. There was nothing they could do to fill the void I felt, so I leaned on God. Each night I prayed, asking God, what was I doing wrong? Why was this so hard? I tried to live my life the way I thought would make God proud. I went to church. I helped my friends, family, and my community. I kept asking what I'd done to deserve this, and then asking for the spiritual guidance to make me understand. We decided to explore adoption after having no success with fertility specialists. Okay, Lord, I told myself, help me prepare for this venture. My inner pep talk assured me that our decision to adopt would be less draining emotionally. Nothing could compare to the past year of our ups and downs. I could not have been more wrong. We were in uncharted territory with a world of questions that I never thought would have to be asked. There were so many decisions that had to be made about a human we had never met. Everything from gender, race of the child, as well as the birth parents, to health issues, severities of medical conditions we were willing to accept. Were we prepared to stay at home with our child if health concerns dictated we must? I was forced to think about topics that never entered my mind. Most of my adult life was spent as an independent woman, focused on school and then my career. I was happy being my husband's wife, but could I shift my focus to family and possibly stay at home full time? And if I couldn't, did that make me unworthy to be a mother? The questions were many, not just for the agency, but for me internally. Our lives seemed trapped in an amusement park that was anything but amusing. We did not stop pursuing our dream of being parents. The adoption process was lengthy to complete. There were inspections, interviews, classes to help us prepare for the outcome of this journey. We would wait for a phone call or an email to confirm we passed the next necessary step on our road to becoming a family. Finally, after jumping what seemed like an endless number of hoops, the state of Colorado approved us as prospective parents to adopt. I thought, wow, we did it. We made it through. But there was no little human waiting for us on the other side, just more waiting. I was on my way to Ash Wednesday service in 2014 when my cell phone rang. It was the call we waited almost 5 years to receive. A baby boy was born premature at 30 weeks, and we had been chosen to be his parents. Were we willing to make the commitment and say yes? We had no idea if his premature arrival would cause medical problems or how long he would be staying in the NICU. It was our faith in God and each other, and maybe the fact that we were headed to Ash Wednesday service, that told us without a doubt, yes, we were willing to be committed to this premature baby boy's parents. I met our son on March 8th, 2014, and he was everything I ever imagined. He was absolutely perfect. Watching him grow stronger every day of his month-long stay in the NICU, I would find myself wondering if I was dreaming. All those prayers were finally answered, and the heartache I thought would consume me was replaced with this baby who made our family complete. He returns the love I knew I had to give every day, and I thank God for his blessing. I love being a mom. It's a job I cherish and I never take for granted. Each night we sit down and we say prayers with our son, and I listen as he blesses his family, friends, animals, and stuffed animals. And quietly I thank God for the best blessing of all, our son, and for making my dream job of being a mom a reality. There were so many times that I questioned God and his plans, but thankfully, faith kept me on the path to where we are now, together, as a family.